Welcome to Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry from eejournal.com, sponsored by Avnet. I'm your host, as always, Amelia Dalton, and this week we're going green. We're talking about how the University of Newcastle in the UK is hoping to power your home with biofuel, and how Spansion is hoping to power your next IoT design with some energy harvesting PMICs. All right, that biofuel business. Now, we've all heard about using biodiesel for cars, right? Or maybe it's just my neck of the woods where it's in abundance. Biodiesel is for Portland what Tesla is for Silicon Valley. Yeah, I think that's about right. But this new biofuel micro tri-generation prototyping system coming out of the University of Newcastle is going way beyond pushing that 20-year-old converted Mercedes uphill using leftover French fry oil. Oh, yes. This new biofuel technology is looking to cool, heat, and provide electrical power to your house. Yes. All right, now how is this different from the biofuel, biodiesel, biobusiness of before? Well, first off, this team of researchers are using unprocessed plant oils in their first generation biofuel micro tri-generation, or BMT, prototype system. This all-in-one biofuel system uses a diesel engine generator that has been modified to produce power using unrefined plant oils, including sunflower, rapeseed, jatropha, and croton oils. Along with a hybrid energy storage unit and a data and control system, this BMT system can, according to the energy consortium led by the University of Newcastle, supply 6 kilowatts to 9 kilowatts of electricity to your home. How do they do it? Well, the BMT generator constantly runs at a high efficiency. So, when it's combined with the electrical storage system, which is based on a water heat storage and hybrid battery and supercapacitor electricity storage system, it can easily provide an adequate amount of energy when the sharp peaks in electrical demand are required. Waste heat is also then captured and stored in hot water tanks, which can be used for heating and, obviously, hot water needs. This waste heat can also provide energy for refrigeration or air conditioning, via an absorption chiller. That sounds cool. Get it? Cool. All right, now I can hear you all out there loud and clear. All right, Amelia, this is cool, but how the heck is it different from today's biodiesel? Well, first, it's the unrefinement, even if that is a word, of the plant oils themselves. Because this team is using unrefined plant oils, the energy used and the waste products produced by the conversion from plant matter to oil are reduced by a lot. Also, this team kept farming in mind. Oh yes, instead of needing refined oil, which may not be available in some parts of the world, and by using plant oils from plants that can be grown in harsh environments or in poor quality land, this team from the UK contends that this BMT system could be perfect for providing low-cost energy for developing countries throughout the world. So, moving forward, this consortium does see their new biofuel micro tri-generation system working its way into the industrial and commercial real estate world as well. How exciting! If you want any further information about this new BMT project, I've included a link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Let's keep on harvesting, shall we? This week, my guest is Tom Sparkman from Spansion. Yes, Sparkman. I didn't make that up. Tom is here to chat with me about Spansion's new super green new family of power management integrated circuits for energy harvesting targeted at the IoT market. All right, let's get started. Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, Tom, let's talk about energy harvesting. Now, do you think this will really curtail our dependence on batteries? And what factors do you think are driving the adoption of energy harvesting technologies?
It's a great question. I do think that there is a fundamental benefit to energy harvesting that will accelerate the adoption of the Internet of Things in total. Let me sort of explain what I mean by that. Let's picture ourselves as a guy that wants to automate a building, and we want to pick, say, HVAC system. We make a pitch to our CFO, and we say, look, I want to replace all the sensors and all the air conditioners so I can tell if the air is cold and if it's flowing. And he says, God, sounds great. And I say, well, it's cost us $500,000 to do it, and then we have to replace the batteries and all these sensors every year, so it'll cost us $150,000 a year. And he goes, whoa, wait a minute. You mean I got to hire a guy to replace all these batteries, you know, like every year? I don't want to increase my OPEX by $150,000 every year. It's a tough pitch. On the flip side, if you took that battery out, the pitch would go completely different. You'd say, hey, Mr. CFO, it's a $500,000 one-time cost, and then the maintenance cost after that is zero. So you get all of the savings that's there, and yet your OPEX goes down by eliminating the battery and the maintenance involved in that. And that's really sort of the fundamental thing that we believe here at Expansion is if we can eliminate those batteries, we can actually accelerate the adoption of the Internet of Things.
So what industries do you think will be impacted in the short term and in the long term?
In the short term, the studies which we've seen and that we agree with say that the biggest initial users are going to be these large institutions, people that do want to lower energy costs by automating the HVAC. Security systems would be another one. Road construction. You can imagine many, many different types of end equipment that need sensing and where that additional information of the status of something would help you make an intelligent decision about how to manage that piece of equipment. Going back to that HVAC system, if you knew what the temperature was and the airflow was in every room, if someone wasn't using the room, you could automatically turn the air conditioner off. If one side of the building is hotter than the other, you can regulate where the air would flow. And you can see where that benefit would come. And these are typically where the large CapEx or the initial expenses would be made. And we really think those are going to be the first industries that do adopt this. Every study that we've seen so far, that's probably 60 to 70% of the market is those large applications of this type of technology. So I think that will be the bulk of the market, and I think that's where it will go. Because if you can make decisions based on sensor data that can lower energy costs, can lower use, can improve efficiencies, these people can do that cost-benefit analysis and decide to spend that money. The second market that we see, they end up being very personal, and that is there's been a large explosion in what we call wearables, electronic technology, which is somehow carried with us as humans. The craze of the Fitbit of people wanting to measure their own activity and figure out how many steps they're taking, how many calories they're burning. Some of these things are more sophisticated and look at your heart rate. They'll look at the oxygen in your blood. But the whole wearables market, we think it's going to be an interesting segment. But again, we think it would be made more interesting if you could reduce the dependence on these batteries. Again, batteries are large. They're bulky. If you're running, you know, these things are going to be uncomfortable swaying back and forth. And yet, if the electronics could sort of be seamlessly, lightly, and almost disappear as you wore them, we believe that, again, the adoption would be accelerated by eliminating that battery. And that's sort of what this energy harvesting technology would spur. So to sort of summarize those two things together, I see the largest part of the market and this cost-benefit analysis of the institutions is going to be the greater piece of the market. But I think even the consumer market itself will be greatly enhanced by being able to eliminate a battery.
Now, Expansion just announced a new family of PMICs, or power management integrated circuits, for energy harvesting, targeted at the IoT market in particular. So, Tom, what's so cool or green about these new PMICs?
Great question. The two products which we've announced really target this IoT market and to eliminate at best, but hopefully significantly reduce the use of the battery in circuits. And we've got two different classes, depending on the type of energy that you want to harvest. There's multiple types of energy that are out there which we can use to power these circuits. You've got what your users, I'm sure, are very familiar with. You've got light, you know, through a solar array. You've got motion through a piezo-resistive network. But we can also take, like, differences in temperature. A 10-degree difference in temperature, there's a circuit called the Peltier effect, where you can actually generate electric current from a difference in temperature. And believe it or not, there's more energy there than you might think. And then, of course, you can harvest from the radio waves. There's just radio waves that are out there. Depending on the types of sensors you want and the energy that you want to convert, we've got two different circuits that convert from those particular sources, and they're really tailored for those two particular applications. One steps the voltage up, and the other steps the voltage down, depending on those energy converters.
So, Tom, how are your PMICs different than what's being offered on the market today?
There's a couple of fundamental differences. And first, let's talk about the class of energy harvesting devices on their own. These devices are able to start themselves up. They bootstrap themselves on very, very low levels of energy, either low voltages or low current. And they can really operate in just minute amounts of electrons flowing through them. And that's what makes them sort of special, is the techniques we use in the stacking of the transistors in order to make them work at very, very low energy levels. Most PMICs that are out there today are meant to regulate battery-type voltages, so, you know, reasonable voltages and reasonable current. What we're talking about is orders of magnitude less voltages and currents and still having these circuits work. And that's energy harvesting as a whole. For our particular parts, when we looked at the competitive landscape and what's being offered out there today, what the existing suppliers are doing is you have to choose one source of energy. So let's say you pick solar. Well, that's it. Those particular energy harvesting devices for our competitors rely purely on that solar device. And if you want to operate at nighttime, this particular circuit won't work. Expansions will take two different inputs, and we think that that's very, very critical. Let's pick another application, like something like an energy harvesting powered watch. If you picked and you had a solar face on this watch, us and our competitors would operate the same. But when you would go inside, when the solar light wouldn't be there, or let's say you even wear a shirt sleeve, we would think of that. Ours could then operate on motion as well. So we could have the solar powered face and we could have the motion, where our competitors would have to pick one or the other. And we think that that dual energy source is a very key difference between our parts and our competitors.
All right, Tom, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you're a bit of a wine collector, and Merlot gets such a bad rap these days, but what is your favorite red wine, and what's your best red wine food pairing?
Oh, wow, that's a very interesting question. Unfortunately, I do fall into the crowd of thinking that Merlot is not one of the world's best wines. The Merlot grape can be used very well. My favorite wines are the Bordeaux. I really love the Bordeaux blend. And this is where you take Cabernet and you may enhance it by adding some Merlot. So if you want to use Merlot to back up a Cabernet and then perhaps some Cabernet Franc and a Petit Verdot, now all of a sudden you're talking about my favorite wine. And that's really is my ideal. Now, a nice Bordeaux with a grilled piece of beef, man, I tell you, you don't get a lot better than that. I guess that would be one of my favorite meals.
And now you are making me hungry. Thank you, Tom. Well, this was super cool. Thank you so much for joining me today, Tom. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, Amelia. I appreciate the opportunity and have a good fish fry.
Hey, did you know that X-Fest is coming up real soon? Yep, Avnet and Xilinx are excited to announce the technical program for this year's X-Fest, a global series of seminars offering practical how-to training for FPGA, DSP, SoC, and embedded systems designers. Don't miss this opportunity to learn more about recent innovations and technologies and product development methodology from Xilinx. And to experience a deep dive with Avnet technical experts into the key technology domains where Xilinx FPGAs offer unique, high-impact, and cost-savings capabilities. Events start in September in North America. All right, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want to register right this very instant for this year's X-Fest, you can. I've included a link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Also, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can also monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, yes, you can join our circle on Google Plus. We also have a YouTube channel chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our super popular Chalk Talk webcast series and our video series, yes, starring me, called On the Scene. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up, or perhaps you would love to wish me a happy birthday tomorrow, post a comment on our forums on eejournal.com or shoot me a line directly at amelia@eejournal.com. For the week of August 8th, 2014, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.